Hi, this is Susie Quattro, and you are listening to Pantheon Podcast.
History in Five Songs with host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back again. Martin Popoff here with another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding, always thinking of new ideas, Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, Simplecast, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, this episode, episode 174, I'm calling it That Undeniable Song. Second episode in a row with that in the title. So where this came from was this idea. It comes from a couple of places. I recently did this this top 20 Sammy Hagar thing, and it got off into all, you know, all this Facebook trolling and debating back and forth about great Sammy Hagar songs. And we were talking about the song Dreams, and somebody, you know, was saying, oh, it's just one of the greatest songs of all time. What a great song, undeniable hit, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I was kind of pushing back and saying, look, it's a song. It was a hit song. We can debate whether it's a great song, you know. And then I started getting into this idea of I wanted to mention you know, what I have, this one definition I have of a great song that leans to the objective rather than the subjective. So here's what I wrote. I had to share this from Getting Grief over me not thinking Van Halen Dreams was absolutely factually just a great song. I answered back, my definition of a great song is when I form a picture in my mind of the band sitting in a boardroom and playing the proposed hit single for the label around a big table, and everybody is suddenly laughing, crying, hugging, screaming. Then I mention the ones that instantly come to mind, and I won't say that now because we'll get to those and play them. In other words, instant obvious jaws on the floor, rather than any of us pondering abstracts and the pulling of individual heartstrings. I literally picture that whole boardroom getting up and dancing on the table, dollar signs for eyes. Okay, so the idea here, stay with me because this is the important part of this. The idea here is that we aren't talking about the hundreds and thousands of amazing, great songs that everybody agrees are great songs, that are great songs for abstract reasons, or, you know, emotion and philosophy and psychology, you know, just their guitar, bass, and drums, but they're amazing songs with great hooks and great choruses and all that and great messages. So this isn't about that. This is a little bit more about, imagine everybody sitting around that boardroom table, and you've got like the junior staff, you've got the senior staff, who some of them possibly don't know a lot about music, the accountants, the bean counters, the A&R people, the super fans. So you've got this mix of people around the table. So these are the songs that there's something super undeniable to everybody about these songs, why they can be hits. It perks up everybody's ears. Maybe if you're not a music fan at all, you go, wow, that is a neat sound or something, right? So it's a little bit, it leans a little bit into, we did this episode earlier, I think it was 81, called Novelty Hit Singles. And it was about all the different ways songs could be novelty hits. It could be mellowness. What did we have there? We had heaviness for a band that wasn't heavy. We had mellowness for a band that is usually heavy. We had disco. We had, you know, use of synthesizers, drum machines. So there are a lot of ways songs could be novelty, but this is a little bit more moving away from straight novelty into a general sense of complication. So lots for anybody to chew on, whether you're a pedestrian music fan or not. Just a lot of interesting things about these songs. So I think the overriding theme, and I'm going to go into the sub themes here, is this idea of complication or epicness of these songs. So that's what I mean about moving into the objective from subjective, into realism art versus abstract art, right? And, you know, my 6-year-old kid can do that art, right? That's abstract. And yet there are many abstract works of art that are worth tens of millions of dollars, right? versus realism, where it's like, okay, that might not even be good art, according to the critics, but you know, you think of Robert Bateman or something like that, Picture of a Cougar, right? But everybody knows that there's a ton of craft in there, right? And not everybody could do that. My 6-year-old child could not do that, right? So there's a little bit of that in this as well. And the other concept that's in here a little bit that I've had frustration explaining and having people get it the way sort of I'm thinking about is this idea of genius, right? You know, I've often talked about Judas Priest in the 70s, Queen in the 70s, Frank Zappa, geniuses, no one else's geniuses, right? Rolling Stones, not geniuses. Bob Dylan, not geniuses. Beatles, debatable, right? That sort of thing. Or did it take the Beatles and George Martin together to occasionally arrive at genius? Whatever. So there's a little bit of that in here as well. So I'm feeling that a lot of these songs that you're hearing here, you know, they're just songs, right? They're just 3 minutes of something. So I'm not going to ascribe genius to the band because of this 3 minutes they came up with. But there's a certain sense of genius in these songs that, again, goes past the subjective or the abstract art end of things here. So, okay, so let's you know, more of this will come out as we roll on here. Let's take a listen to our first selection. This is Aerosmith with Walk This Way. Backstroke lover, always hiding beneath the covers till I talk to you, my daddy, I say. Said you ain't seen nothing till you're down on the moon, and then you're sure to be a change in your ways. I met a cheerleader, was a real young breed, all the times I could reminisce. All the best things in loving with a sister and a cousin, only started with a little kiss. Okay, so in the time-honored tradition of these five examples that I'm coming up with, I wanted to put in one of the songs that I've often thought this, just off the top of my head, this is one of the main songs. So why is this here? So essentially, everybody's sitting around that boardroom table. Say Joe and Steve come in, you know, they're relatively sober because it's 9 a.m. And they bring a nice stereo. Maybe David Krebs is with them. And they sit down and they play this on this nice stereo at pretty decent volume. Everybody in that boardroom is going to be blown away instantly. First, because of that Joey Kramer drum lick, you know, pretty simple, but you know, effective. And then Joe comes in with that irresistible, amazing, and well-recorded and beautifully, you know, Jack Douglas got some nice fuzz on that, but just this gorgeous, gorgeous guitar riff with the little funky chunky thing going on as well. So there's a little bit of dialogue in it. Then the song kicks in and Steven Tyler, lo and behold, is inventing rap music. But it's also a tour de force musically with what's going on. There's his rap phrasing, but there's melody to it as well. And then all of a sudden he's finished with this complicated fancy verse. And we're back into that glorious, glorious hit single, Dollar Signs for Eyes riff. And now there's suddenly, now it's suddenly a chorus. It's not just an intro. So this one I think fits totally right in there in this idea of that undeniable song, the name of our episode. Objectively, this should impress everybody in that room. That's the whole point, right? And you know, just to drive this point home further, and I'll maybe mention some other bands later, you know, you think of, okay, Aerosmith, how many more of these do they have, right? I'm not sure they have any more. I really don't know if there's any more like that, even though they have other hit songs and other great, undeniable hit songs in that other realm, in that subjective realm. But again, in this idea of smack you right between the eyes, impressiveness to anybody who's a, you know, any moderate level of music fan who's just going to be infectiously swept up in the enthusiasm of this song, Aerosmith, Walk This Way. I wanted to mention as well, I'm going to mention this a little later. I did a little research on how often these songs have got Spotify plays, right? So Walk This Way, pretty high, 375 million plays. So yeah, a beloved song. And just, you know, I'm going to go along and mention some honorable mentions that may fall into these categories or not along the way, whatever. I'm calling this category the old category, right? Another one I've always felt this way about is Head East, Never Been Any Reason. By far their biggest song. It's just this weird, someone described it on Facebook as a progressive rock, southern rock song, which is pretty bizarre, but it kind of in a way. It's here again because it's got lots of parts. It's got kind of a messianic, even a evangelical or Christian rock quality to it. You know, Lord, you know, I'm going down for the last time, all that sort of stuff. But it's got that really sort of elegant, sublime synthesizer thing going on in there. The different parts, the sort of Steve Miller hookiness of the main, the main chord structure. But yeah, it's long, it's epic, it's got a lot going on, it is a little proggy, it's a little Boston-ish. So that's one I think that fits. One that I was debating whether it fits, what do you guys think of Don McLean, American Pie, being in here? 533 million plays on Spotify. I think it kind of fits because it's a mix of just that great song, great songwriting. You know, it's very literary, it's got a lot of words, it's got that messianic quality. But it does, it's not full of bells and whistles. It is more of a just an epic singer-songwritery one. So I think that one sort of straddles. Again, in this old category, you know, I was thinking about the Beatles and, I'm probably going to get heck for this, but none really came to mind off the top of my head. You know, people talk about that Hey Jude story, right? How everybody was just like speechless, jaws on the floor, right? That's what I said. But again, I don't think it's a complex bells and whistles. Everybody's going to be, it's just a great song, right? So it doesn't really fit. Steppenwolf Magic Carpet Ride is kind of an interesting one because it's got bells and whistles, some immediate hit you between the eyes hookiness, that big transition into when, you know, John Kay starts singing on it. So interesting one. Then I thought of some of these other bands like an Aerosmith, like a Ted Nugent. Okay, so Ted Nugent, he doesn't have any of these. I'm pretty sure of that. Then I thought of Kiss. Does Kiss have any of these? You know, we included Hard Luck Woman and Beth in the novelty episode because this is a heavy band doing mellow music. So that's a novelty thing. So does Beth fit? I don't know. I don't know this would blow everybody away sitting there in a boardroom sort of thing. What would blow them away and cause debate is this idea of it being mellow. Interestingly enough, I think Rocket Ride kind of fits because I think it's got some blow you away riffing going on in that song, and it's pretty super heavy for Kiss. And then the one that I think does fit this idea of complexity, objective greatness, is Detroit Rock City. It is one of their biggest songs. I think most people would consider it one of their greatest songs. It's got all that ear candy, the soundtracky elements to it. It's got big wind-ups, big Peter Criss wind-ups, big chord wind-ups. So all those cheap laughs, right? This is about cheap laughs around that boardroom table. Like everybody going, ha-ha, well, isn't that amusing what they did there? Boy, that is kind of interesting. That's hooky. That could make this song a hit kind of thing. So there you go. That's sort of the idea here. Let's move on to our second selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Madness with Our House.
Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our...
I remember when I came and everything was true, when we would have such a very good time, such a fine time, such a happy time. And I remember how we'd play, simply waste the day away, then we'd say, nothing would come.
Okay, so this is another one that I think really fits in this thing, and I found this kind of interesting. So for this category, I went and did a little research on the biggest new wave songs of all time, and I looked at these big long lists of these new wave songs, and most of them do not fit into this category. So why does Our House fit in here? So as you can hear from this clip, I played something a little later in the song. It fits in here for a number of reasons. So it's got this kind of big reverse noise intro, and it breaks into basically drums and piano. So that perks your attention right away. There's a little walk this way to that, right? So that perks your attention. It is a beautifully written song. So it's got great chords and a great message. It's even got that to it, this idea about our house, everybody gathering at our house, and mom keeps the house clean and all that kind of thing. So it's got novelty to the lyrics as well, which actually is a category a little later in this that we will talk about. But what I also, you know, why I played you this later bit is that it is really dressed up with a lot of cool stuff. So not only are there all these hooks, but there's all these added hooks and swirling hooks and reinforcing hooks created by strings, horns, backing vocals, rapid fire vocals, like interesting vocal phrasings. There's even a break. There's a sax solo in it, right? So there's lots going on in this song that I think puts it in here, even though it is a new wave song by a two-tone ska band or whatever you want to call them, right? But yes, also in this realm, so one that I do feel like does fit in this realm from the new wave world is The Knack, My Sharona. I think that's a song that irresistibly, you know, undeniably, predictably by everybody at the label, they listen to that and go, wow, this is a big hit. Why? Because of that crazy, catchy, octave-jumping, rhythmic riff to the song. So it's just there. You play this around that boardroom, everybody looks at each other and says, wow, this is an incredible hit. Even though it's a guitar, bass, and drum song, it doesn't have a lot of novelty besides that particular signature thing to it, but that signature thing is massive, and of course it was a huge, huge hit in 1979, and that album was a huge hit. Looking at a little bit of a list of these songs, Der Kommissar, After the Fire, 99 Red Balloons, Nina, Whip It, Devo, that kind of fits a little bit into this, but not really. It's just more or less a standard sort of synthy tune. Walk Like an Egyptian, The Bangles, Don't You Forget About Me, Simple Minds, Don't You Want Me, Human League, Tainted Love, Heart of Glass, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. So I don't believe that about any of those, but one I kind of almost would put into here because it does have a lot of window dressing on it is 6 Months in a Leaky Boat by Split Enz. That song is so catchy and it deserved to be a big smash, which it was. In a Big Country, Big Country kind of goes there. I think you play that around a boardroom and everybody would be blown away. And I think it is a little bit fresher and different. It's really got this big anthemic Celtic thing going on. So I can see that one fitting in this. Mentioned was XTC Senses Working Overtime. Not really, but it does have that hook that everybody would look at each other and say, wow, that's pretty interesting. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Senses Working Overtime thing. So those kinds of things help as well. All right, this episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works, but what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And special offer to History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/5songs. That's better, HELP.com/5songs. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
All right, let's play our third selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Pantera with Cowboys from Hell. Okay, well, the theme here kind of is heaviness. You know, this is one that I've always thought. I imagine that meeting with maybe Derek Schulman's there, and they're all sitting around and playing this incredible new sound, this wild, wild riff. It almost sounds like a machine coming out of Dimebag Darrell. And then it breaks in, and you get Vinny's drum sound, and then Phil, you know, sounding like, James Hetfield on steroids. This is really, really impressive. And I think the more open-minded people sitting around that table would realize this is a brand new, you know, very striking form of heavy metal, right? And I also feel this about Mouth for War as well. So the single from the next album, Vulgar Display of Power. You know, and then I was thinking, I remember hearing Ride the Lightning and Fight Fire with Fire for the first time. And I think those would impress anybody sitting around a boardroom who was tapped into, you know, heavy metal, realizing this was an elevated level of writing, even over and above, you know, what you heard on Kill 'Em All, where everything's sort of based around the riff. But I think here you see, wow. Some really impressive songwriting, and For Whom the Bell Tolls, definitely. And there, you know, you're getting a mix of novelty with the slowness and the spaces, and also just great songwriting, right? You know, and also maybe in this category, there was a debate about Rush. Does Tom Sawyer fit? Does Spirit of Radio fit? I don't think you can go beyond those two, but those two are, you know, dressed up enough that you would think that anybody could kind of get swept up in the enthusiasm of those songs. I won't go into it to a big extent because, you know, we did cover this in the novelty episode, but Heart Barracuda, Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, Jefferson Starship Jane, you know, Jethro Tull, their various heavy hits, Owner of a Lonely Heart, at least the intro, right? That sort of thing. So there you go. That's the heaviness category. Let's move on to our fourth selection. Take a listen to this. This is Helix with Billy Oxygen. Hey, come on. I don't know if I've played Billy Oxygen before, but I just, any excuse to play this song, I'll take it, right? Only 2,000 plays on Spotify. Like, nobody knows about this song. But the theme here is the main theme, the complication theme. I think this song just has so much cool stuff going on in it that it should have been an absolute smash hit. It's a little bit of a cult hit here in Canada. They even have a song off the other indie album. So this is before they got signed to Capitol. But Breaking Loose is kind of a little bit pretty extra special, that it should have been big. And then later on, they did have a hit with Rock You, which has this call and response thing going on. You can see that Trailer Park Boys episode. It's pretty funny. But that has kind of a novelty feel to it where I could see a boardroom being impressed with. But yeah, Billy Oxygen, it's got all these parts. It's beautifully recorded. To me, this feels a little bit like that epic, a band who's not prone to making epics, making an epic like Head East with Never Been Any Reason, or frankly, Ram Jam with Black Betty. I think it has a little bit of that as well, too. You know, the different instrumental sections and hearing, you know, the different instruments showcased and stuff. Go play this song on YouTube. It is hilarious. Or on Spotify. It is on Spotify. Pretty cool. But yeah, in this theme, you know, I wanted to play something a little bit different because the main one that comes to mind, of course, is Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody. I think that's possibly the greatest song of all time in terms of like, or, you know, the greatest songwriting. Let's not go there. Again, the songwriting thing gets into the abstracts, but let's just say in terms of the genius part of it, right? This fits into that complication of, wow, a genius song. Are Queen geniuses? Who knows? It's four guys. So now you got to start ascribing genius to the different guys, blah, blah, blah. And then Sweet also, I think, fits in here as well with Action. Action is sort of their version of a Bohemian Rhapsody, I think. Obviously, it's mostly heavy, though. But I wanted to include, because another one that super comes to mind for me is Sweet Ballroom Blitz, with that drum hook and the Are You Ready, Steve, and all that. I think sitting around a boardroom, everybody's going to listen to that song and go, wow, this is really a fun tune, right? So Sweet's got a couple of those. And then elsewhere, they've just got great written songs. All those other songs that Sweet had a hit with, Fox on the Run and Wigwam Bam, Love is Like Oxygen, even to some extent, Discophony, but those are getting complicated, but the old ones are just examples of good songwriting. Chapman Chin, yeah, they knew how to write hits and all that, right? So, and the last one in this category, big one, Jeb Wright gave me a lot of help with this episode, in the Facebook thing. This Facebook thing got 179 comments, but I got into a big back and forth with my buddy Jeb, and he brought up a lot of examples, and one that he brought up that absolutely fits this is Carry On Wayward Son, Kansas, 483 million Spotify plays. So yeah, these all fit in the complication. One other one that fits in here that I think is pretty interesting is Joe Walsh, Life's Been Good. So that's a long song with a lot of parts. It's got a real Steve Miller vibe to it, I think, with all the little novelty sounds and being kind of minimalistic, but still ear candy-ish, if you get my drift. So yeah, sitting around a boardroom table, listening to that entire song, by the time you get to the end of it with the big languished kind of heavy rock and close, I think everybody's jaws would be on the floor going, wow, Joe. And they'd be all clapping the slow clap saying, wow, that is an epic, gorgeous song that you put together there. And another one I want to put in here is and I think Jeb suggested this, and it's a great one, is Billy Thorpe, Children of the Sun. Back in the old Selling Stereo days, we used to use that as an audio test song because it's got so many cool things going on with it. Very soundtracky song. It's long, it's epic. So yeah, here we are in the complication thing, the sound, the ear candy thing, and these all fit. All right, let's go on to our fifth selection. Take a listen to this. Alice Cooper with School's Out. Boys. Okay, so this was a Jeb selection or suggestion as well, and I totally concur and agree with you, Jeb. So this fits in the theme of a lyrical hook. So sitting around that boardroom, everybody, as I joked to Jeb in the Facebook thing, I can see you know, three A&R guys sitting in there, and you know, maybe the boss, taking a dig at the one A&R guy he wants fired, says, "Hey, Bartholomew, how come none of your bands ever wrote a song about the last day of school?" Right. So it's that sort of idea. It's just a brilliant idea. But I wanted to put it in here because it goes beyond that, because it does have the children's choir in there. No more pencils, no more books. It's got interesting music to it as well. It's heavy. So yeah, it's got a lot of cool novelty things going for it. But again, you know, it's got a little bit of the catchiness of A Walk This Way. So I think sitting around the boardroom table, everybody would look at each other and say, yep, hit single. Absolutely. This is great. You know, and other ones, you know, Billion Dollar Babies, does it fit in here? I don't know. Elected? No, I don't think so. Elected is just a normal sort of song, but it's got the lyrical hook to it. Pink Floyd Money, I think, fits in here as well, because it's got some of the window dressing and kind of a neat lyrical theme, you know, just money. It's called Money. It's about money. So that's kind of cool. Gary Numan Cars, I think, kind of fits in here as well. It's futuristic musically. Plus, it's like, here in my car, I can lock all the doors, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of cool with the lyrical hook thing. So there you go. Those are our five examples. I wanted to mention a few of the numbers here as well. So yeah, My Sharona, 279 million plays. Ballroom Blitz, Sweet's kind of, you know, not kind of forgotten, 80 million plays only. Never Been Any Reason, only 20 million plays. You know, a lot of people don't know that song. Cowboys from Hell, 212 million, pretty good. Madness, Our House, 210 million. Van Halen, Jump. So I was thinking, Van Halen, what do they have for this? Maybe Jump fits in this. And what I consider their best written song and maybe their greatest song of all time, and I think I put this in my polling that I wrote for Goldmine, and The Cradle Will Rock, is pretty darn interesting. So I would almost put that in there. But Jump, 645 million plays. Wow, School's Out, only 125 million. And I just want to mention, you know, Jeb had mentioned, and this is where I pushed back and said, you know, just great songs, but normal songs. You Shook Me All Night Long, Rock You Like a Hurricane, Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, Surrender, Don't Fear the Reaper. I said, no, Jeb, no. That doesn't fit what I'm getting at here. You know, he mentioned also Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Dashboard Light, I would agree with that as well. It's 8 minutes and 28 seconds long. It's very epic. And then, you know, again, on the gray area, Warren Zevon, Desperados Under the Eaves, perhaps, and Bruce Springsteen, / Manfred Mann, Blinded by the Light. So these things that have lots of epic parts. So the idea is, you know, There may not be a lot of sound effects or anything completely like bells and whistles novelty about them, but when you put all those parts together, that is enough to impress the novice sitting around that boardroom table and the pros, right? And they're all looking at that, and the combination of the hooks and the complication, the ambition to the song, the epicness makes these things feel like hit singles. All right, let's see. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi. You know, that's my only thing. I don't have a Patreon thing. I'm not saying just send me YouTubes or whatever. PayPals. But yeah, Ko-fi rhymes with nofi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. It's pretty easy. It is a PayPal that I get kind of thing. It's like this got this $3, you know, double it, whatever, $6 thing. So yeah, that's my main way of supporting this show. It has been a light week. Basically, this week, I would like to thank David Fisher, Augustine Garcia de Paredes, and Steve Polari. And yeah, martinpopoff.com for all the books. Of course, I've got those two Alice Coopers. And yeah, a few got dinged in shipping. This always happens. I don't know. There's not much we can do. They pack this stuff really well. But the stuff that all arrives from the UK, there's usually some slight bumping going on. And I really can't send them out new or perfect. So the Damn Book, if you want a deal, let me know. The Alice Coopers, if you want a deal, let me know. Kind of, you know what? If you want any two of those, pay for one, I'll send you two. That'll be an offer that I'll put in just for kind of this week sort of thing. Anyways, let me know. We can horse trade and figure out something on some of these books you might want. MartinPopoff.com for that. Thanks again. Yeah, your homework for today, I think you know what it's going to be. Just go play Helix Billy Oxygen.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.